Today we have the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Now, right away to begin with, we have to understand what this account is all about, because it's very easy to make the mistake of looking at it and saying, okay, we should follow Jesus' example and wash one another's feet. In fact, you can even point to the text and say that's what Jesus says. And indeed, he does say it, and we'll get to that. But if that's all we get out of this, we are really missing the point, because this account is not primarily, it is partially about learning to follow Jesus' example, but it's not primarily about learning to follow Jesus' example. It's primarily about what Jesus did for us. It's so easy to take this account, and many other accounts too, but especially this one, and make it into something we do, instead of coming with that correct attitude as Jesus himself instructs us. Remember, he tells the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. And so many people come to this account as well and immediately say, okay, we ought to serve one another. But notice, where is Jesus in that sentence? We ought to serve one another. Jesus is missing. We're not looking to Jesus when we come to this account with the lesson is we ought to serve one another. Instead, we need to come and first, we need to humble ourselves and we need to come and say, what is Jesus doing for me here? And then secondarily, later on, is going to come, well, we ought to follow his example, but only after we really learn to appreciate what is Jesus doing for me. So very, very obvious law and gospel. Coming to find Jesus instead of coming to do something for Jesus. And in fact, Peter is going to make that point for us. And not that Peter makes it correctly, but Peter's actions and then Jesus' response, Jesus is going to correct Peter. It's not about what you do. It's about what I do. And he's going to say that to Peter straight out. So here as well, we need to come not thinking, well, I need to do this or I need to do this for one another, but we need to come first and foremost with that attitude of what is Jesus doing for me here? And Jesus himself is going to point that out to us when he says, do you understand what I have done? Do you understand what I have done? That's probably one of the most important phrases in this account, that each one of us stops and thinks, what has Jesus done for me? And learn to understand and appreciate what Jesus has done for me before we go on to, okay, now what can I do for others? First, we learn to appreciate what he has done. John chapter 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's such a wonderful sentence. And again, what has Jesus done for me? He loved me even to the point of going to the cross. And that is what John is talking about here. He's not talking simply about the fact that he's going to wash his disciples' feet. He's already looking beyond that to the fact that Jesus is going to die for his disciples. And so he begins this chapter looking beyond the events of this evening to what is going to come, even the very death of Jesus and the love that he showed for us through that. Even while Judas is sitting there plotting his betrayal, Jesus is plotting Judas's salvation and mine as well. Even while Peter is sitting there in arrogance, and we're going to see some of Peter's arrogance, Jesus is sitting there plotting Peter's salvation and mine as well. We continue with verses 2 through 4. Supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. Here we have a picture of the incarnation. Jesus is sitting at the head of the table, just as he was sitting enthroned in heaven. And what did he do? He gave up his seat in heaven and came down to this earth. So here as well, he gets up from his seat and comes down to serve his disciples, just as he was in heaven and came down to serve us. Notice he laid aside his garment. It doesn't really come through in the English, but the Greek word there for laid aside his garment is not the word we would normally expect to be used in a the case of this woman just putting down their coat or their outer garment, but it is the word that Jesus himself uses when he says, I lay down my life. And so it's very possible that John, that the Holy Spirit through John, is choosing this word specifically to tie it to his upcoming crucifixion. And there's really no doubt that this whole account is a picture of the incarnation and of the crucifixion that is to come, because Jesus is going to say in a little bit, you do not understand what I am doing. What I'm doing now, you do not understand, but you will, you will understand it after this. So if this whole account is merely just a morality story about how we should serve one another, if that's all Jesus meant this to be, then that phrase in there, you don't understand, doesn't make any sense. The disciples could easily understand. Jesus explains to them, you ought to do likewise. It's not hard for the disciples to understand. It's not hard for us to understand. It's not hard for the world to understand. Oh, we should, in humility, serve one another. That's the law, and that's a natural part of our life. But there's something else going on here, clearly, that they don't understand yet, but which we, looking back on it, can clearly see that it is a picture of Jesus' crucifixion. So he's laying down his garment, just as he is about to lay down his life, and of course he picks up his garment again, just as he was going to pick up his life and gird himself. So we have that famous passage from Philippians. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the cross. He came to serve us, even to serve us with the cross. And so Jesus is giving his disciples a picture of what is about to come so that they might understand it when it does happen and be reminded of it through this action in which he washes their feet. Again, it's not about what we do. It's about what did Jesus do for us. Verse 5 through 10, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know it after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my heads and my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. So notice how, it's very clear that there is more going on here than simply that legalistic morality of we ought to serve one another. Because if that's all this is, then what Jesus says to Peter here really doesn't make any sense. Why does he rebuke Peter when Peter wants to humble himself? I mean, if it's just about the morality of learning to humble and serve, what Peter says would be good and right. So why does Jesus rebuke him? And then what is all of this about? Whoever his feet are washed, he's all clean. You know, what's going on there? It makes no sense if you only see this from that legalistic point of view, well, we ought to serve one another. But if you see it as a picture of Christ's death and also of the sacraments that come to us through his death, now all of a sudden it clicks in place and everything fits perfectly. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But remember, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Just stop and think about that phrase for a little bit. If I don't wash you, you have no part of me. Again, that's all about what Jesus did for me. It's all about the gospel. And Jesus serving me and what he did for me is enough, and his death and resurrection. He serves me, and therefore I am saved through him, not because I follow his example and I am humble, but because of what he did for me. Now, you notice Peter's objection here, and Peter makes two mistakes that we often make as well, two mistakes that we make by our sinful nature when we try to come to God. The first, Peter objects because he thinks he should be serving God. Well, why are you serving me? I should be serving you. And of course, that would be true if we were coming to God through the law. If we could come to God through the law, it would be all about what we do for God. It would all be about us serving God. And that's the right way of things in our mindset, in our sinful mindset, in our legalistic mindset, but we are no longer under the law, are we? But we are under the gospel through Jesus Christ. And under the gospel is not about what I do for God, but about what he does for me. And so Peter, when he tries to object to Jesus, he's objecting to the gospel. He's objecting to Jesus coming to serve him and to save him. And so this is why Jesus, you know, rebukes Peter. No, Peter, that's not right. That legalistic mindset, you can't be saved that way. You need to let me serve you. I can save you. And so God comes to serve us. And we have what we call the divine service, the worship service on Sunday. You look in the hymnal, it's called the divine service. What does that mean? The divine service. When was the last time you stopped to think about those words? Divine service. Divine service means, divine means God, of God. Service means to serve, right? So the divine service is when God comes to serve us. Just like Jesus served his disciples through the washing of the feet, so God comes in the divine service to wash us, to wash our feet, to renew us in faith, to give us his word and all this stuff. And so some people might say, well, you know, Jesus says we should wash each other's feet. Why do Lutherans never wash each other's feet? And there are some churches where they make a regular practice of washing each other's feet, but they're missing the point because it's not about us washing one another's feet. It's about God washing our feet. And Jesus is very clear about that with Peter. No, let me wash your feet. And so we come to the divine service. We come letting God serve us, letting God give his gifts to us, letting God, rejoicing the fact that God saves us through our Savior Jesus Christ. But now Peter falls off the horse on one side. Well, now he makes another mistake as well. Jesus saying, no, I have to do this for you. Peter quickly says, no, you need to wash all of me then. Well, if this is a good thing, if a little bit of this is a good thing, a lot of it must be a good thing. And here, whereas before he's coming to Jesus with a legalistic mindset, well, now he's coming to Jesus without faith, without trusting what Jesus has done is enough. He thinks, well, it doesn't seem to be doing, you're only washing my feet. That doesn't seem to be enough to make all of me clean. And how many people come to worship with the same attitude? Well, this doesn't really seem to be doing anything. I don't really seem to be getting anything out of it. It really doesn't seem to be enough. I need more. I need more excitement. I need more music. I need more blah, 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 whatever. And so we need to make a bigger deal of it than of what God says he's doing. And we have the whole book of Hebrews is actually, the entire book of Hebrews, that's what the issue at the core of Hebrews, that the Christians were saying, this doesn't seem to be enough. We want the grand temple and all the programs and all the gold and all the other things that came with the Jewish faith before we became Christians. That seems better than just these little worship services on Sunday morning. And so the guy writing the book of Hebrews is telling them, no, what we have is way better. And Jesus tells Peter as well, here, you know, trust me, this is enough, that I am doing everything for you through this little action. And of course, that ties right into baptism. People come to baptism and we baptize these little babies in church. We pour some water over their head and we say those words. It's short, it's simple, it's to the point, it's over in a few seconds, and it's easy to think, oh, that didn't really seem like very much. Surely there's got to be more. But we forget what God is doing through that simple water, through that simple word, that it's more than enough. It's God's power at work. And so at first, Peter tries to serve God instead of letting God serve him. And then Peter tries to demand more instead of trusting God's word and the power of God working through that word and what Jesus is doing for him. But of course, Jesus is very patient with Peter the whole time. He was bathed, needs only to wash his feet, but he's completely clean, and you are clean, Jesus says to his disciples. So, and think of the picture that's going on there. Of course, they would have maybe bathed the night before or something, or that morning maybe, but they were walking around outside and, you know, walking around in dusty, dirty, arid, you know, dry, arid climates like Israel. You're wearing sandals the whole time. Your feet are going to get very dirty very quickly. So, you know, it's important to wash your feet every time you come inside, every time you sit down to dinner. Just like we wash our hands, we don't really wash our feet because they're covered with our socks and our shoes. Most of us don't get them as dirty as the disciples would have been. But here you have this picture of, okay, they washed, they were bathed, but from walking around all day, their feet are dirty, and Jesus is coming and he's cleaning them again. And in the same way, we are cleaned. It's finished in Jesus. He died for our sins in our baptism. We receive that. We are fully washed. We are fully cleaned. And yet we we walk around in the sinful world every day, and very quickly our feet, you know, become dirty with our sin. It clings to us just like the dirt did. And so every week we come to Jesus in the divine service. He serves us by cleaning our feet. And we continue with verses 11 through 17. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So Jesus comes right out and says, yes, we should follow his example. We should serve one another. We should wash one another's feet just as he washed our feet. But notice he begins with, do you know what I have done for you? And so it starts not with what I have done or what I need to do for each other, but it starts with that, well, what did Jesus do for me? And again, you go back to what happened before it. He says, you don't understand this now, but you will later. So it begins with Jesus's death and resurrection, and it's only when we understand what he has done for us and what he is for us that then, being renewed in spirit by his forgiveness and by his grace, then we are joyful and willing to go out and serve one another. But another important point is, I have done this for you as an example. So this is an example. Jesus isn't telling us that we need to make feet washing a part of our worship service. That's not the point here. The point is that we are supposed to serve one another. And so if serving one another means washing their feet, that's what it means. If it means visiting the elderly, that's what it means. If it means thinking of our wife or our kids first, and that's what it means. It's the washing of the feet here is not supposed to be a ritual that we do every week, but rather, first and foremost, it's what Jesus did for us, and then secondarily, it's an example of how instead of thinking of ourselves as better than others, we ought to put their needs first and serve them. And how we serve them is going to depend on what they need and what we're able to do, but it's really not about the washing of feet precisely, but about serving one another. How Jesus served and lived and died for us. Lord's blessings on the lesson as you teach the kids. And if you have any questions, let me know.